We're turning back to Luke chapter 2, and we're going to look at this message that came to the shepherds and what they did with it. That's really the thing we want to look at today. What these shepherds did with the news that the Savior was born, and when they went to visit the stable and found things, as was said, they would find a child in a manger in swaddling clothes. We're told in verse 17, when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. Of late, I've been reading a few books about preaching. You're probably saying that's a good thing, because every preacher needs help when it comes to preaching the word. We can always do with all the help that we can get in making known the word of the Lord. Now, if you want to borrow one of those books, I'll be glad to lend it to you, because you never know, God might call you to preach his word. And I'm thinking of that because these shepherds, they were the most unlikely candidates to become preachers of the glorious gospel. These were shepherds, hillmen, busy about their agricultural tasks. And yet suddenly and wonderfully there was thrust upon them the urge, the sense of duty and calling to make known the news that the Lord Jesus was born. I hope that you can do that this Christmas. You may not want to come up and preach here in this pulpit, and others may not want you to come up either. But you can preach in many locations, and there's many ways of spreading the news that there is a Savior that has been born, especially if he's been born into your hearts. But as a way of introduction today, I want you to note here what these shepherds did not preach. And that's a good thing, because there's an awful lot of rubbish that's preached in pulpits. A lot of things that really have no relevancy whatsoever. I want you to notice that their message was not about the angels. Now, they did see angels. They had an amazing experience with angels. But that was not the subject of their sermon. They didn't preach about these strange creatures made visible and manifesting themselves to them there. No, there's a lot of people, and it seems to be their Christianity is all about angels. That's tragic. Another thing is that they didn't preach about sheep. Now, they knew sheep inside out. They knew all about sheep and their nature and their ways and their character and their tendencies, but not a word about sheep. Nor did they preach about the great light which they saw, and that would be a phenomenon in itself, this wonderful light that shone around, but not a word about the light. Nor did they speak about their journey from the hillside where they were keeping sheep to the town and back again. Not a word. You know how people love to talk about travel, the experiences, the people they meet, and the things that they can overcome. But not a word about their travels. Not a word about their journey or their experiences there. Nor did they give their own account of things. Because if you look at verse 17 very carefully, it says, when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying. The saying. You see, they didn't make up their own sermon. No preacher should. I'm not here today to give you my own opinions or something I think you should know. I'm here to preach what God has said in his word. That's what preachers are to do. And it was all concerning this child. Did you see that at the end of verse 17? Now, if you don't see that, the sermon will not work for you today. I want you to read that. In Luke chapter 2, verse 17, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And now we can begin in the school of preaching this morning. Now we've got a starting point. Now, I'm sorry if you feel that you're disappointed that we're taking shepherds as our professors in the school of preaching. That would seem to be very humbling. But let me tell you, these shepherds got it right, and they did it well. And we want to follow their example. And we are to see here that we are to preach the names and the nature of the child. Oh, that becomes a big part of our message. We are told in verse 11, this is all part of the saying, and we're going now to verse 11 to exactly what the angels said to these shepherds. They said, verse 11, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." And there you have the names that are given to this child. Now, the essence of this message was that he was the Savior. The Savior. The one that you need to save your soul. The one you need to bring you out of the broad road to destruction, to bring you into the narrow way that leads to life. Now, God obviously knows that you need a Savior. And the Lord Jesus, the wisdom of God, or the Word as we learn today, He understands that you need a Savior because He came to save your soul. He came to be the Savior of the world. Now, Savior means deliverer. What is it that you need to be delivered from? Debts? A bad bank account? A bad reputation? Delivered from the mockery of men? No, there's something much, much more serious than this. It's a little three-letter word, sin. Because our Lord came to be the Savior of sinners. Now, He's given the name Jesus, for He would save His people from their sins. Do you use that name? Do you use that name in prayer? I'm not sure if you pray morning or evening. But if you're never using that name, Jesus, in prayer, you're still in your sins. You've never known the mercy of God. You've never known deliverance. You're still on the broad way. Now, also in this, there is the name Christ, which means anointed one or the sent one. And this is something the shepherds needed to preach. God has sent a Savior. We can't make up our own Savior. And this is where Christianity becomes exclusive. This is where we come into our own. Our Savior is unique. There is none other. This is the sent one. He has been appointed, anointed by the Father to this very work. And that text, John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only." Now note that, only, only, His only begotten Son. There's not another. He is the only Savior. Then He's Lord. You'll notice that. In the city of David, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. That means preeminent one. In the Greek New Testament, the word Lord was the equivalent for the Old Testament Jehovah. He is known in Isaiah, or revealed there in Isaiah 9:6, as the Almighty, the El Gabor, the Almighty God. And that's the Savior you need. Let me tell you, because of your sin, and because you have offended a holy God, and because you're on the road to destruction, you do not need a small Savior. You do not need a small Savior. You need an Almighty Savior. One who can smash down every blockade, every barricade on the road to heaven and open up a way of life for your soul. And our Lord Jesus is called here Lord. He has all the attributes and all the perfections of the Trinity. So we are to preach these truths. This is what these shepherds were to preach. And they made known this abroad. They just didn't go and say, "There's a nice little baby born in a manger in a stable." They didn't stop there. They preached His names. They preached His almighty power to save. And that's the call of the preacher today. And I would be failing you. I'd be failing you to let this Christmas go by without telling you about the power of our Lord Jesus to save your soul. I would be failing you in many ways. And those, they need to know about this Lord Jesus. To many people, he's just a name, just a man, just a myth, perhaps. Well, the Bible tells us that this is eternal life, to know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. Now, there's a world of difference between knowing and knowing about. It's like a little dot on the map. And you know, sometimes, have you ever gone on Google Earth and you've zoomed in right on a spot, and it's a little place on the map. And then you go for a drive someday and you drive by that location. I did that thing exactly just a few weeks ago, a month ago, when I was going to that funeral in Okotoks. And to make sure that I didn't waste time, because I was short enough of time to make it there and the travel over in the morning and getting out from Calgary to Okotoks, I was wanting to make sure I can get there first time. And so I had the map and a little marker on it. And lo and behold, that day we drove right by. We drove right by. And that's the difference about knowing and knowing about. And there are many people on this Christmas season, when it comes to the real person of the Son of God, they'll just go right by. They know about him, but they don't know him. And you're in danger of doing that. And I have to do what these shepherds did. I have to make sure that you truly know the Savior. So they preached his names, they preached his nature, and you'll note in verse 18, and all they that heard it wondered at those things which they were told them by the shepherds. I want you to be thinking today. I want you to be thinking. I want you to come and put your trust and put your hope and confidence in the Lord Jesus. So they preached his names and his nature. They also think we're to preach his birthplace in the city of David. That was an important part of the saying that was given back there in verse 11, for unto you was born this day in the city of David. Now that's important because according to the purposes and the prophecies of God, he could be born nowhere else. Think on this. The world's a big place. There are many cities, many towns, many corners of the globe. But there was only one place that the child, the Savior, could be born, and it was Bethlehem. Now, this is the case because he was the son of David, and David was the man of Bethlehem. That's where he was born, and that's where he grew up. And that's where he was associated. David of Bethlehem. And the greater David, of whom King David typified, would be born here as well. And the Old Testament prophets, especially Micah, he prophesied that in Bethlehem of Ephratah he shall be born. It was the only tribe, the only city. And so this is where every Bible student would look. Where will he be born? Do you remember how the Magi came into the city of Jerusalem when they were following the star and the star disappeared for a time? And they asked the question, where is he that is to be born? And Herod wanted to know too. And he got all the scribes and all the rabbis of the Old Testament prophecies. And they came to the definite, absolute conviction that he would be born in Bethlehem. And off the Magi went to look for the Christ child in Bethlehem, because he had to be born right there. Now, Bethlehem is an important place because it means the house of bread. Our Lord Jesus came to be the bread of life, to feed the hungry souls of men. And I'm looking at the faces of many people here today, and you have eaten the bread of life. I can see the spiritual satisfaction that has filled your heart and life by believing on this Savior. He fills your heart, your life, your soul with manna from heaven. He is the bread of life that satisfies the soul. And you can testify today that every other is just a broken cistern. You've tried the world, you've tried money, you've tried materialism, you've tried popularity. They are broken cisterns that don't satisfy your soul. But the Lord Jesus does. And just as he fed the 5,000 in the miracle of taking a little lunch and distributing that food to those, that vast multitude, there are countless thousands in the world today, and to them the Lord Jesus is the bread of life. He had to be born in Bethlehem, in the city of David. When we go to the bread lines of our cities, and I'll be going down to the UGM on Tuesday evening, Lord willing, and usually at this time of year, the line is as long as ever. And men and women will stand out in the street in the cold weather as they do in the summer, and they will line up for a little food. But praise God, I get the opportunity to present to them the bread of life first of all. That's the way it works down there. If you want physical food, you have to firstly take in the spiritual food. And my friend, today the Lord Jesus was born in the city of David, the place, the house of bread, that he might feed your soul. Do you have that? Or do you have to admit, my life's empty? My life is a shambles. I have no direction. I have no satisfaction. I have no purpose. You need the Savior today. Will you trust him? I'm just preaching like these shepherds. I'm taking a leaf out of their book to tell you that he was born in the city of David deliberately by God's decree to be the bread of life for your soul. Isn't that amazing? What a Savior we have. What a gospel we have. Then also, as I look at the saying, I'm back now at verse 10, we're to preach his relationship with men. You'll notice in verse 10, the angel said unto them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." All people. Now, this is the wonder of the incarnation, that our Lord Jesus was made in the nature, the likeness of men. He came to be dwelling among men, and he took our very nature for that work. And then there is the wording of the angel saying, which shall be to all people. Now, we can look at that in a number of ways. Our Lord was sent to all people in the sense of being a Savior to all nations. It does not say Jews. He was not just a Savior for the Jews. A Savior for all people of all races, nationalities, colors, creeds. Praise God, the gospel church is an international church. It is a united church of all the sons of Adam who will put their trust in the second Adam. And if you hate the curse and the pain of the first Adam and put your trust in the Lord Jesus, the second Adam, then you are redeemed and you're saved and you are brought into this church. Now, in the original language, the word "the people," it's not all people, it's the people. The people. And I've got some news for you today. The Lord Jesus did not come into the world to save every single person that would ever be born. No. Because if he did, he would have failed. We have to recognize that the way to a lost eternity is the broad road, and many go in thereat. Our Lord Jesus came into the world for the people. The people whom God ordained to eternal life. And for those people, our Lord Jesus lived and died and rose again. He was a particular Savior for a particular people. And he would redeem them by his own blood. Now, I have to ask you, are you one of his people? I would fail you today, according to the message of these shepherds, if I was to say from this pulpit that because Jesus was born in the likeness of human nature, all men, all women will be saved and go to heaven. Heaven is not a certainty for all men. God has a people, a particular people. They become known in the Bible as the elect. Let me read to you Matthew 24:31. He shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds. Who are these elect? They are the people for whom he was born, for whom he died and rose again. And when the world wraps up, those same people will be gathered in. And I have to ask you, are you one of his people today? Our Lord was sent to those who will hear and believe. How often our Lord Jesus said, if you have ears to hear, let him hear. If you have no ears to hear, if you have no desire to hear, you have no heart to hear, if your heart is cold and set against God, against his Son, you're not saved. You're lost. But if you will open your heart, believe and receive him. The Lord Jesus was sent for his church, the church of the Father. They are the bride. They are the redeemed who are washed and made white in the blood of the Lamb, and they will be brought home. And the Lord Jesus will, through his life and death, present to the Father a perfect church, glorious in holiness. I want to be a member of that church. You need to be a member of that church. You need to put your trust in him. Now, our Lord is therefore sent to the church universal. Now, let me clarify my terms here. I am not a universalist when it comes to the number of people that will ever be saved. But I believe in the church universal, which covers the whole world, various generations, the history of the world from the Garden of Eden to the end of the world. That's the church universal, a people of every tribe, nation, and tongue. I was reading Revelation 7, and I was looking at that number, the 144,000. And then at the end of that, it says, and a great multitude which no man could number. It brought me back to my conviction that numbers in the book of Revelation are all symbolic. You know, 12,000 out of each tribe, 12 times 12 is 144,000. I hope you did those times tables when you're in school. When I was in school, your times tables went up to 12. In my parents' day, they went up to 20. Today, I'm not sure how far the tables goes for children in school. But 12 times 12 is 144. And then the next verse says, and a great multitude which no man could number. That's the church of the Lord Jesus. It's not restricted to a limited number. All who believe, all who are in. Now, if you go back to verse 10 in our text here, this saying of the angel said unto them, first of all, fear not. There's the mark of God's people. They fear. Fear for their soul. They fear about eternity. The man who fears nothing is not a Christian. We know that Noah, he was saved by fear. He heeded the warning that judgment was coming, and he feared. God's people for whom Christ came into the world were a people filled with fear. They were also hopeless, helpless. That's why they needed a Savior. That's why Christ came. If there had been any other way to save men, the Lord Jesus would not have come into the world. And you've got to come to that conclusion today that this is my only hope. Your only hope of heaven is the Lord. They are his believing people. They believe. These shepherds believed. Oh boy, did they ever believe. And you can see their faith in action as they return and as they begin to preach. It was their faith in this child, their Savior, that made them preachers. They couldn't be silent. They couldn't be silent. And let me tell you, nobody had to give them a book how to preach. They had a message, and they were determined that they would preach it. This is how we're to preach to you today. What are your fears? I don't know how men face life without a Savior. When you see the funeral car go by and realize one day that will be me on my way to the cemetery, life is short, soon be over. You need a Savior. What is your hope? How are you going to face the great enemy of death? Jesus came to be the way, the truth, and the life. And today, are you exercising that faith? For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. And you accept the gift by faith. He is related by human nature. The Lord Jesus was sent into a world in true human nature because he came to redeem. That's why he took our nature. And these shepherds preached about the child. He's related to his people by covenant, by blood. And of course, we are eternally united to him by the power of the gospel. If you're a believer in the gospel, you'll never be lost. But I wonder today, will you become a preacher of this good news? To preach the saying that a child is born. Will you preach these glad tidings? That's what will make this a real Christmas in 2010. A real remembering. A real honoring of the Lord Jesus. Now these shepherds were so excited and they were so thrilled that they couldn't be silent. They had passion. And you know, as you read the preaching books, that's something that every preacher needs is passion. If you came to church and all I did was to take a manuscript and begin to read it word by word, line by line, and my eyes were fixed on some kind of manuscript, you would say, boy, our preachers are kind of dead. You see, when you've got the fire of the gospel in your soul, you don't read it from a manuscript. And sometimes we need those pointers to remind us, step one, two, three, and so on, as we go through a sermon, that we don't get lost and go everywhere preaching the word, but that we have the passion of the Lord Jesus. And there's one thing that I want to make sure before you leave today, that I believe this gospel that I'm sent to preach. There was a real Savior born. He really lived. And he really went to the cross. And he really poured out his blood. And he really offers redemption to all who will trust in him. It's true, my friend. And if you had stood before these shepherds that day and said it can't be true, they would have preached it to you. They would say, you're the fool, you're the unbeliever, you're the atheist, you're the Christ rejecter, you're the one that will lose your soul because this is true. Now, in verse 20, you'll notice the shepherds were filled with joy. They were filled with joy. There was no joy like it. And the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. Let me tell you, these days of witnessing for the Lord Jesus are our best days. These opportunities to make him known are our most exciting days. That's the wonder of being a preacher of the glad tidings that a Savior has come into the world. If you're telling me today, preacher, I feel down, I'm depressed, I'm downcast, I'll challenge you, go out this week and every day tell one person about the Savior. Just tell one person. You might have to lift the phone, you might have to go knocking on somebody's door, you might have to go out of your way, but just every day tell somebody about the good news that the Savior has come and what he's done for your soul. Let me tell you, you'll find the joy. You will have a song in your heart that will be a thrill that nothing else can give you. Because it's true, it's real, and it fills the heart with gladness. And so my prayer is that this Christmas we will be like these shepherds. Isn't it amazing how the Lord took shepherds to be preachers? He didn't take the philosophers and the wise men or convert rabbis at this juncture. He did that later, but not at this juncture. He took shepherds. And God can take you and make you a living witness to the power of the gospel. May the Lord do so.